I don't believe that I have heard that beautiful hymn rendered any more beautifully. Thank you very much to this beautiful choir. What a beautiful and perfect tone that is set for our evening with Elder Bednar. I add my own welcome and greetings to all assembled in this location and locations throughout the world for this wonderful occasion. It is so good to see each of you with your eternal companion at your side. I am strengthened beyond measure by the presence of my sweetheart tonight. And may I express my love and appreciation to each of you who so selflessly and effectively give of yourselves to the cause of the church educational system. Thank you for all that you do and for all that you are. In many ways, you hold the future of the church in your hands as you teach and train and testify to those we serve. May we never lose sight of the importance and far-reaching impact of our responsibility and service. We are blessed this evening with the presence of Elder and Sister Bednar, and it will be our privilege to hear from Elder Bednar following my brief comments. It was exactly 1 year ago that I was privileged to address you for the first time after receiving this assignment as your commissioner. In those brief remarks and in others that have followed, I have tried to project a view of where we are and where we must be going in the church educational system. If I have learned anything about organizations and organizational effectiveness over the past 45 years, it is the absolute necessity of clarity of focus and consistency of effort. Our focus must be crystal clear, always on the hearts and the souls of our students. And we must be unrelentingly consistent in our efforts to be catalysts for positive change in their lives. It is my impression that you have taken seriously my previous invitation to extend our exposure and increase our impact. We must do everything possible and appropriate to expose every young man and young woman of seminary age in the church to some aspect of the seminary program, whether it be release time, early morning, daily, home study, or through any other means available or being developed. And once they are brought into our exposure, we must do everything within our power and capacity to increase the positive impact we have on their lives. Could I presume to suggest just a few essential elements in our efforts to reach an ever-increasing number of our youth? First, our teaching must be absolutely first rate. Second, our students must become excited about the gospel and inspired and motivated by the witness of the Spirit in every class period. They must be motivated to learn on their own through their own study and faith. Fourth, we can and must appeal to parents, priesthood leaders, and peers in our efforts to reach and engage every young man and young woman of seminary age. Fifth, our students must see their seminary instruction as not just another class, not just instruction on gospel subjects, not just a time to be with friends and other members of the church. They must come to see their seminary experience, even if in hindsight, as a life-changing blessing from heaven. As we have said before, these teaching and learning experiences must provide far more than just the transfer of knowledge. The acquisition of knowledge is merely the first level of learning. This must be followed by our students coming to a clearer understanding of that which they have come to know. Even knowledge with understanding is not enough. Those we serve must rise to a level of belief that makes learning meaningful and operable in their lives. They must recognize that what they have come to know, what they have come to understand, and what they have come to believe should change their lives, bringing happiness and the blessings of heaven in this life and throughout the eternities. Our desire also is to expose all single students attending college, university, or other post-secondary schools to the offerings of the Institute program or to the religion classes available in our church institutions of higher education. Married students and their spouses are welcome as their time and circumstances allow. Non-student young single adults are also welcomed into our institute classes as their needs and interests may be served. However, at this time, it is not our role and it is not appropriate for us to actively and aggressively pursue those who are not students. Their enrollment in the Institute should come from their own sense of need and desire to be involved. The quality of the instruction and of all that happens at the Institute can appropriately provide the draw and the attraction for the non-student. But their enrollment should be primarily at their own initiative with appropriate advice and counsel from parents and priesthood leaders. However, for those who are students, a more assertive approach is urged and encouraged as an acceptable companion to the quality, the excitement, and the attraction of the program. You know as well as I that notwithstanding the impressiveness of the number we now have involved, there are thousands of wonderful single Latter-day Saint students who are not now enrolled. It is on these students that we should focus our enlistment efforts. As it is with our seminary students, so it is with those enrolled in the Institute or other religion courses. Once engaged and exposed to the wonders of the gospel through our instruction and activities, students must be inspired and motivated by their experience, and they must feel a lasting impact of that experience in their daily lives. The real and expansive learning that comes from the acquisition of knowledge, enlarged by understanding and belief, will lead to the change of hearts so essential to lasting conversion and commitment to gospel principles. While the student carries the major responsibility for these results, we must be effective catalysts to that process. We are making good progress, but I plead with you and pray that we will never lose the clarity of our focus or the consistency of our effort. Rather than looking at the tens and the hundreds and even the thousands of our young people who are not now involved, I would suggest that we direct our focus and intensify our efforts on the ones. Let us be very individual in our search and very intensive in our efforts to engage every one of the young people for whom we have a responsibility. I urge you to work with parents, priesthood leaders, and peers as we reach out to bring these young people into our exposure and impact. You faithful brethren and sisters are partners with the Lord in bringing reality to the charge that is ours, that we teach one another the doctrine of the kingdom. The Lord said, "And I give unto you a commandment that you shall teach one another the doctrine of the kingdom. Teach ye diligently, and my grace shall attend you, that you may be instructed more perfectly in theory, in principle, in the law of the gospel, in all things that pertain unto the kingdom of God, that are expedient for you to understand." There is nothing more expedient, nothing more important for our young people to understand than the doctrine of the kingdom. And there are none more able and none in a better position to accomplish this than you. May we press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. And may that love be focused on those we serve. I pray for that, leaving with you my witness of the divinity of the Savior Jesus Christ, of the divine mission of the prophet Joseph Smith, and of the reality of the restoration of the gospel. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.